questions. I know I saw Sharon had a question and Catherine has a question. So let's go ahead. Good morning.
I suspected for some time that I might have an oxalate problem. And so this has been very enlightening for me. Thank you so much.
Good.
Does high oxalate cause gas?
I think it could, certainly.
Okay.
I don't know for certain.
In the list of suspects in those with various things, I just fit in there for quite a few of them.
Okay.
Now, when you had UTI, I don't have UTI. I've had a test for it, but I feel like I need to go. If I desperately have to go, I can go right away. But if, you know, I just think, oh, I'll just go to the washroom before I go for a walk or something like that, I have a hard time going. And when I do, it sort of dribs and drabs and just doesn't feel right. So is that considered a symptom?
I think that would be a symptom. That's an irritation, a bladder irritation. So yeah, that could definitely be related.
Yeah, it just doesn't feel, you know, it doesn't feel like it's burning, but it doesn't feel right.
It doesn't feel right. Yeah. And you're getting this, if you're getting a feeling like you have to pee and you don't really have to pee, there's an irritation to the bladder lining, even if it's not burning, right?
Would muscle pain also include muscle cramps?
Not so much, but I know you've had an issue with muscle cramps for a long time and you're supplementing with a lot of magnesium. So, I mean, it certainly can be, and it may be that that's what your muscles do because there's some crystals in there and it causes them to contract.
Okay. High oxalate foods, you said tea. Does that include black, green, and herbal, or is it just black?
Black. Green, I don't think has much, but that's a good one to look up. Did you look at my chart? Does my chart, the food chart is also on that page. I don't have it memorized because it's like 6 pages long, but yeah, that it could be, but no, for sure black, for sure black.
Okay. And are herbals okay?
Herbals, like most herbals are, but it depends, right? You have to look at the list. If you're having an herbal tea that's turmeric, it's probably
like dandelion or something might be
right. And some of them that are on the list. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to put together right now. And it's very hard to find. Nobody's done a research project where they've done, here's all your herbs and, you know, here's your adaptogenic herbs and all, and how much oxalate they have. And it's very hard information to find because you have to look up each individual one and then look at several studies and there's mixed information. So that's why there's some blanks in the chart still for foods we can't find, but I'm going to create another chart like that with herbs in it.
You also said curry leaf. So that breaks down. Is that curry powder then? Because curry powder is actually a combination of spices, isn't it?
Curry is usually a combination of spices. So I will look up that curry leaf again and try to trigger whether that's from what plant is that, right? Because if there's 5 spices in a curry mix, then what actually is curry leaf? So I'll look that up. I've got a list of that.
Okay. That's my questions for today. Thank you.
Okay, good. Yeah. And it's a possibility for you. And I would go really, really slow.
Well, when I spoke to you, I guess it was last week, I had my Dutch test and you indicated there was low methylation, which my naturopath was already treating me on. Of course, the low thyroid. I suspected histamine because I always have a runny nose and joint pain and then the muscle pain, UTIs.
Have you done an organic acid test?
No, I've got it written down to talk to him.
Yeah, Great Plains organic acid. If you do the Genova one, they don't have the oxalates in there.
Great Plains?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, great. You're welcome. Catherine.
Hey.
Hi.
So, thank you for doing this, Dr. Rita Marie. It's really helpful because when I've searched for information on oxalates, I've gotten so much conflicting information, including some sources say blueberries high in oxalates, others say blueberries fine. So I look forward to seeing the other resources.
Yeah, I'm going to find that because that chart really gives you the amount, right? If they don't give you the amount, they just say high, low, medium. It's subject to interpretation. While you're asking your question, I may be looking aside because I'm looking for another presentation that I can find those actual links in because I copied it and I made a copy. I always make a backup copy. So go for it.
And then, so my question is, so I've tested like a food sensitivity test as high in like spinach like being sensitive to like spinach and almonds, might that actually signify being sensitive to oxalates vice necessarily to those things, or are those two different?
It's two different mechanisms.
Okay.
Right. Oxalates are different. What they're measuring in those tests is for antibodies to them. Right. And oxalates are not related to antibodies. Now, could they be related? Could the oxalate sensitivity have triggered those foods to create your body to create antibodies against those foods? Sure, by damaging the lining of the gut.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Well, that does make sense. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. You're welcome. All right. I'm pulling up that other chart to see if I can get that link for you. Oh, I know where I find it. Quicker. Give me a second. I'm just going to open up my, and then I have Stephanie and Darcy. Okay. Let me just see if I can get, while I'm answering your question, if I can find open, I'm going to, here, this might have it. Nope, I deleted that file. Open. I just want to get you that link. Now, rather than having you have to wait, okay, I'll have it in a second. It's interesting because last night it worked. The link worked when I tested it on my computer, and then I put it in there and I didn't want it to be the active link. I wanted to just copy paste it so that it didn't change to a weird color. It's my artistic side coming out. But apparently I messed up the links. All right. So it would be in this presentation. INE food principles, oxalates. Here we go. Okay. Have a fear in a sec. Okay. Okay. Why did that not work? It looks like the same one. I'm putting this I'll put it in the chat for now, and then I'll transfer that to the presentation. Doesn't that look the same? Maybe I just didn't do the L. Okay. I'm going to share my screen on that for a sec so you guys know. Okay, so there we go. Okay, so the first link will take you here. You see this where it says low oxalate diet? Recipes, food lists. So what I like about this chart, can you see it? Yes? Yeah, okay. Is that it will sort, so you can look up dairy, you can look up fruits, you can look up beans. It also will tell you if they're gluten-free, if they're modified specific carbohydrate or salicylate. So that's other kinds of things. So you can always tell from here. So it'll show, oh, this isn't the one that showed the numbers. Very high, medium or low or none, right? So that's that. There's your veggies, right? So you can look them up. So it's helpful to have a food list that you can trust. You will see some differences from one to the next. You know, when in doubt, as you're easing out, you just consider it to be high. If one source says very high and another source says low, it's going to be rare for that, but it may say very high or medium. But there was another chart. Let me go to the other one. The other one is this one. Okay, this is the WH Foods one. Let me do that one first because it's in, I'm going in order. Okay, so you see that one? It's worldshealthiestfoods.com. They have all kinds of really cool stuff. So there's more information that you can read about them. I haven't reread it recently, but at the time, I guess when I pulled this link, I thought it was pretty good. And then where are chat? OK, Okay, I'm going to put that link in here, and then I'll replace it in the slides later. Well, as soon as I get finished here, but I have another call right after. And then low oxalate greens was okay. And what's the other one? There was one I thought that had, maybe it's the low oxalate greens one. Yeah, maybe it's the low oxalate greens one. That one of them that actually had amounts. Okay. Should come up. All right. You seen that one? No. I'll see if I can find that one that has the amounts in it. That makes it much more doable. Like you can tell like how much per serving, because they may say high oxalate, but the amount you wouldn't be taking, right? If it's 100-gram serving, you're not going to take that much turmeric in one sitting, right? But if it's 100 grams of spinach, you would take that much or probably twice or three times that. So it's helpful to know how much. I'll find the chart that I had from, that I found from that. But this is a list of greens, right? So low oxalate cabbage, the dinosaur kale, et cetera. So it gives you some alternatives when you're adding things in, and it has lists of, yeah. Okay, so let me stop my share and answer Stephanie and then Darcy. So Stephanie, go ahead and unmute.
Hi, Dr. Rita Marie.
Hi.
So my question, I just was curious about, you mentioned the grittiness in the eyes, because that's a symptom that my mom has, and I'm wondering now if that could be it. So, I can tell you what she has is, the ophthalmologist diagnosed it as blepharitis. So she claims it starts in the eyelid and it falls into the eye. Does that sound consistent?
It's usually in the eye itself, but certainly it can start there. I'm not an ophthalmologist, so I wouldn't know for sure, but I know that it ends up being grittiness in the eyes. Okay. Does it go away? Does she have it come and go?
Not that I know of. No, it seems like it's pretty consistent.
Yeah. Well, look at the list for the other symptoms to see if she has other symptoms as well.
Okay.
But it could be. It definitely could be.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. A definite, that's like an oxymoron, right? It definitely could be. Darcy.
Hi guys. Hi. So one thing, I've been going through all my supplements and I noticed that a lot of the Kyrazyme and the standard processed products all have calcium and magnesium with them. And I was curious about that. So I went on this little tangent looking it up, and it's a lot like what you talked about today, in that your body needs those things as binders, absorbers, or to increase so your body can utilize what's inside it. So my question is—
Let me ask you this before you ask your question. Is it calcium citrate and magnesium citrate, or is it stearate?
You know what? I should go grab it and look, but I think—
Go ahead and ask your question, and then, because I'll get back and explain what the difference is in a minute.
Okay, well, that's part of it, so that's good. What were the levels that you said, how much calcium, magnesium, and the vitamins?
I would take with the meals that have oxalate foods, 500 milligrams.
Of each?
Yep.
Okay.
Thorn has one. It's a CalMag citrate powder, so you can titrate the amount. I mean, obviously, if you're eating a low oxalate foods, you know, just have a little bit for protection, just for the low. But if there were high oxalate foods, you'd want to take the full amount.
Okay. And what was the levels for vitamin B?
B6, 25 milligrams of pyridoxal 5-phosphate, P5P.
Okay, 25. Okay. So then what's the difference between the citrate and the other one?
Stearate is used as, okay, and it's a bad ingredient that's used by a lot of supplement manufacturers to help their capsules slide through the machinery better. So stearates are actually a fat, stearic acid. Some is vegetable source, some is animal source. If it doesn't say vegetable source, it's probably animal source because it's cheaper. And it coats. It makes the nutrients less available, makes them less bioavailable, especially if there's fat malabsorption, because then you have to break down this fat to get to the actual nutrient. And it's not a good thing. A lot of companies, Thorn doesn't do it. And Premier Research Lab and they speak out against it. There's other companies who defend it. But I just steer clear of it.
Okay. So always stick to the citrate.
Well, you're not going to see that in a supplement unless it's deliberate, right? Not always stick to the citrate. There's other forms that are good for calcium and magnesium, but in particular for this form, for the yanking it out in the urine, in the stool, that's the best one.
Okay. No, that's good. That clarifies. And then where is this going to be posted on the website when you're done?
On the page, I'll show you guys again, just to make sure you know, it's on the health topic page. Let's see, where's my, here we go. If I go into our website, it's not open. I rebooted right before this call. Empowered self-care, la, la, la. Okay. When you log into the site, hopefully it didn't log me completely out. I may have to log back in. No, okay, good. So if you look over here, there's a couple of places where you'll find it. Under recordings, if you go to Empowered Self-Care Health Topic, they're both going to bring you to the same page. Okay, there it is. Okay.
Yeah, because there's a few things that were so good that I need to go back and
listen
to you again.
And you have access to all of the library. So you have access to an 8 years of library on the health topics that we've done. So no shortage of information for you. Yeah, it'll be done here. There'll be a new one that says 2021 and then you'll have them. Eventually we're working on with a web person to help us to get this organized by topic, like categories of topics. So the other place you can find it is where it says live session library, empowered self-care health topic. And for those of you who came from Vital, Vital was swallowed up by the two new labs that we created. And so those are all the old Vital calls as well. I think there's one other way you'd find it because we haven't taken it down for those of you used to going there is if you go to Vital. So there's no shortage of ways to find it. Vital, let's see if that does. That might take you to, I think it takes you to a page where, yeah. So for those of you who are so used to going to Vital, you go in here, you go Empowered Self-Care Training Library, and that'll take you to that same page. Okay. So there you go. It's this page here. And it usually takes like 48 hours because we do some editing and, you know, I have to give it to people to do that. Okay, let me unshare. Thanks for questions. Anybody else have questions? We have 3 more minutes before I have to go for my next call. Good. Was this helpful? Yeah? Yes? Okay. A lot of repetition for you guys or some new stuff? No, not a lot of repetition, new stuff. Good. And know that, you know, for those of you who are participating actively in the elimination diet this time, it's all in there. And let me just show you real quick. Since I have 2 more minutes, I'm going to show you where all the stuff I put up on that elimination diet. Oh, it's not on there. It's on, I have to just go back to the main page. Okay, so if I go down to sensitivities, identify, if I go to the prep phase, that's where you're going to find those charts that I mentioned. Right, and there we go. So preparation, there's a video. And then there's all the stuff that was there before, but I added this. Determine whether you need to avoid particular food chemicals. So I give you the links to the chart, the symptom chart, the food chart, and then some slides from a presentation I did before last year or something on, I think I did this at our event in the summer, where I talk about all of these in more detail. Okay. All right. And if you guys have particular things that you're looking for, you want more information about, like we haven't completely designed our topics for the year. We're in the process of doing that. So if there's particular stuff, post it either in the Facebook group or respond to any of my emails and just say, here's some of the topics I'd really love to see. Before you do that though, look at the list of stuff that we've already done, because I try to do new stuff, although revisiting stuff is not a problem either.
Rita Marie.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to interrupt. People in the chat say they have their hand raised.
Oh, I didn't see. Oh, I just saw Sarah's hand come up, but that's the only one I see. All right. But did you just raise your hand, Sarah?
Am I unmuted?
Yes, you are. You have to unmute yourself. So the only way you get unmuted is if you do that.
Thank you. Hey, yeah, I had a couple of questions.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a question and I'm going to ask you all a big favor. When we do these things and I say there's three more minutes left, that try to get your questions in before that and not after that, right?
Because I posted in the chat my questions earlier.
Okay, so I'm going to just let you guys know I answer the questions live, the questions in the chat, okay. Because I'm not good at multitasking, looking at you, doing a presentation, answering questions and reading the chat. So if you post them in the chat, then it's much better if you just ask them live. Okay. Until I can get somebody that can come on the calls and help me and read the chat for me.
Okay. I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah, that's it. Are they quick? Let me just check my calendar real quick. Cause if I have a call right now, I can't do it, but I may have a buffer that was meant for me to get a food break. I have. Yeah. So I can answer them as long as they're quick.
Okay. I just wanted to know, what's the difference between nightshade and oxalate sensitivity, if you have time? And also, when would a person need know whether they should just take vitamin K versus adding calcium with that for absorption?
Vitamin K, you should always take D with it, which is for absorption, not calcium, but D. And then there's a huge difference between nightshades and oxalates, and we can do one of our talks on nightshades. They're just totally different. It's a different chemical. It's a solanaceae, is the chemical in the nightshades, and the symptoms are different. Take a look at the chart that we put together and you'll see that there's a lot of differences in the chart. There's some similarities, but there's a lot of differences there. Yeah.
Okay.
That would take me like another 45 minutes to completely explain what nightshades are and how to deal with them and where they are. Okay. Great.
With calcium, I was told that I wasn't absorbing, so to take vitamin K, but so that's kind of why I asked about.
Ask that question again. Maybe I misheard.
No, it's okay. I've been advised that I'm not absorbing calcium, so I should take vitamin K instead of calcium.
Not instead of. Well, it depends. It's really hard to say, because calcium, you don't want to take too much of, because it can deposit in joints and it can be pulled out of solution. So generally the K will help absorption. The D is really what helps absorption. K is not really, if it's a bone problem, the K helps with the bone, right? So I don't know if enough about you. You know, if somebody advised you after looking at your labs and hearing your history, then that's one thing. But for me to advise you without really knowing all that would be another. Okay. Typically what I do, if somebody's dealing with bone stuff or calcium malabsorption, D was what helps with calcium absorption. So you don't stop the D, stop the calcium and take D instead, then you don't have calcium to absorb. Ideally, you're getting all your calcium from your food and it's easy to get. It's just that a lot of people don't absorb it. K helps with bone formation. So D and K should be taken together. So ideally, if you want to have healthier bones, it's calcium, D and K, or not just calcium though, because there's 20 nutrients required for healthy bones. And if you go to the Eating for Bone Health, which is in the, if you click on the nutrition lab, Eating for Bone Health is under the how to balance all your organs and glands with food. You can watch Thank that. You. That'll give you a lot Thank more information. You so much. You're so welcome. All right, guys. Thank you so much for being here. So those of you in ERC, hopefully I see you on the ERC call in a little bit, and have a good one. Bye-bye.